that sounds good. Oh yeah, what you're about to hear is powered by the Men of the Square Table, who want you to know that the garage fridge is for beer only. Duh. Miller Lite. Good call.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. 520-9710. 888-520-9710.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
On Free FM.
Live from L.A., also listening in Phoenix and San Diego, and the world online at FrostyHeidiAndFrank.com. That's who we are, minus the .com. Mm. That's our name.
Do you have any idea when our station Christmas party is going to be held?
You know what's strange? None of us in this room, I don't know. I haven't even heard that there is one this year. I know there has to be. But because they haven't told any of us about it, it's kind of like they don't want us to go.
Is it going
to
be at that place, the Oasis?
The Oasis.
We did a commercial for it, but when it is, I don't know. My guess is it's already happened.
And we were invited?
Yeah. That's I'm weird. Guessing it's over because it's late enough in the month now. A lot of companies have their Christmas party, you know, the first week of December.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I bet it's already happened.
Unless
they just never bothered to tell us.
Wait till January.
Well, we've been to prior Christmas parties. But maybe that's why we haven't been invited back because there's always like somebody at the Christmas company because that either gets too drunk. Or, you know, ruins it, drinks a little too much.
Who would that be in this room?
You
two.
I guess staff at an Irish riding school were forced to postpone festivities after Gus the Camel chomped his way through 200 mince pies and several cans of Guinness intended for their Christmas party. Gus is starring in the riding school's Santa's Magical Animal Kingdom show. The 11-year-old camel cracked open 6 cans of Guinness with his teeth after the door to his stall was left open. I mean, do you think 6 cans of Guinness, would that even get a camel a buzz? I mean, I assume camels can drink.
Maybe their livers or whatever can't process it like humans. I don't know. So I'll tell you, six
beers, it'll last him a year.
He's a hammered camel.
That's a pretty potent drink, too. Between that and the mince pies.
The last drunk camel story I heard was Heidi's vacation in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Christmas parties. Mm-hmm. Getting drunk, and there's probably that one woman in the office that you don't give the time of day to, but then at the Christmas party, she's not at work, and she probably did her hair, threw a little makeup on, and you think she's hot. Is she really, or is it just beer goggles?
Right.
You ever had the beer goggles, Frosty?
No, not really.
You know what they are, right?
Yeah, where, let me see, what's the saying? A 2 at 10 is a 10 at 2.
Right.
Right.
You stick around to the girls all get prettier at closing time.
Scientists believe they have actually worked out a formula to calculate how beer goggles affect a drinker's vision. Yes, the drink fueled phenomenon is said to be to transform supposedly ugly people into beauties until the morning after. Researchers at Manchester University say while beauty is in the eye of the beer holder,
clever.
The amount of alcohol consumed is not the only factor.
What else is it?
Additional factors include the level of light in the particular bar.
Mm. Usually bars are not light.
Mm.
The drinker's own eyesight and the room's smokiness. Even though you can't smoke in bars now, but if you can, smoke plays a factor.
Well,
the distance between two people is also a factor. They all add up to make the aesthetically challenged more attractive. The formula can work out a final score ranging from less than 1, where there is no beer goggle effect, to more than 100. And it actually has it, you know, written out like an actual math problem. It is beer goggles equals number of units of alcohol consumed squared times the distance from person of interest.
It's an equation.
Yeah, times, in parentheses, the smokiness in the room plus 1 over the square root of the luminescence of a person of interest, so how much light they're standing in, multiplied by the Snellen visual acuity, which is pretty much the eye chart we all look at.
Thank you, a brilliant mind.
Squared.
A butterfly.
Squared,
and
of course.
Figured out that's the beer goggle equation.
What doesn't make any sense about beer goggles, my head hurts now after that. I hate math.
Well, the research was commissioned by the eye care firm Bausch & Lomb.
Mm.
The poll showed that 68% of people had regretted giving their phone number to someone to whom they later realized they were not attracted. Happened?
Of course, I have slept with many ugly
women.
Well, I think the thing that's weird about beer goggles is the more you drink, the more confident you get. The more, the prettier a girl feels, you're like, yeah. Because you get confident. So it doesn't make any sense about having sex with an ugly person is the more confident I get, I should be going for hotter people because I'm going, look at me.
But I think you're hotter.
But that, well,
and I'm walking up to Ugly, who's going to take me no matter what. So I'm thinking I got good game, but she's just desperate.
I have a theory. Those doesn't concern me because I don't think I've... But the thing is, when you realize, if you're wasted, when you realize that physicality is not as important as it is when you're sober, then you get to know the person you're talking to. You realize the fat office woman who you never give time of day because she's fat and ugly is really a sweetheart. And she really is intelligent and fun to talk to.
You're such a beer goggles. Makes you enjoy her personality longer.
Well, no, doesn't it make sense, though, Frank? That, I mean, you shy away from the hideous, ugly people at work. But if you have the company party and you find yourself, she's all right. It's because you got to know her, the personality. When you get all drunk, you forget that she's fat, hideous, and ugly. And maybe she forgets you're fat, hideous, and ugly. And you actually get to the personality, and that's good. And you click on that level, and that leads to attraction.
The stragglers at the bar or at the Christmas party are looking to get laid.
Well,
so
of
course. It's you and the accountant. Remember that accountant we used to work with?
Fat Cindy. She had cats.
Now, I guarantee you sit at the bar with Fat Cindy about 2 a.m. at the Christmas party, and you're down on your last nog. You're going to take her home.
If I did take her home, Frank, it wouldn't be because
she's prettier.
Well, you know what? Maybe I get to know her. As the night goes on, maybe she's a wonderful, sweet person who stays home with her cats. I don't know. That's my guess. I think the personality
figured it out.
I don't agree with any
not
of
just
that.
Liquor.
How do you disprove an equation like that? Do you actually go to the blackboard and disprove
square
that?
Roots and all that other good stuff.
Like, oh, yeah. They're going, from a distance. Well, you got to factor the distance.
And my eyesight and the light, because if it's fluorescent lighting, you really don't look good. But if it's soft lighting,
And you know what? The distancing, think about it. Picture yourself at a bar, and you're talking to the chick next to you, Frank, is right next to you. Now, she's not 10 feet away where you can see all of her and judge. She's right next to you. And when someone's right next to you, you can't see all of her. You can't see all of it. She may have a big ass, and you don't even see it. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Behind the table.
So the closer someone gets to you, the less of them you actually see.
Yeah, but the closer their skin is. So now I think a lot of times what happens is from a distance, from across the bar, you're like, you're seeing the blonde hair and the nice, tight body, and you're going, damn. Look at her. Now you're getting a little closer. You're drinking. You're getting a little closer. You're going to go up to her. And then that's when you see the pancake makeup and the pock marks. And you're like,
okay, if there's
yeah.
that, you see it. But if you have a pretty face, you may have an ugly body, but a pretty face and maybe nice breasts.
No one's ever told me that.
But that's all you see at the bar.
This phenomenon only happens at the bar itself. Not at tables. You see a woman sitting down holding purses.
Right.
You know, like, wow, look at that hottie over there. And you stroll over. It's like if she's standing at the bar, she wants to drink right now.
That is true.
She can't wait for a waitress. She doesn't have. She's not sending her boyfriend over.
I want to make eye contact.
She's standing at the bar, and I know I can do her.
Probably true. Yeah.
You know, years ago, years and years, a whole lifetime ago, when I used to make my living for a while in a band, playing keyboards, playing seedy little disgusting, the Holiday Inn Lounge. That's anyway.
You don't miss those days?
Yeah, in a way. But it'd be so funny. You'd see the end of the night. You'd see these guys hitting on these horribly ugly chicks, and you know that they were there 3 hours earlier and would have nothing to do with each other. But when the booze hits and it's 1:30 and the bar closes at 2, everyone's hooking up. And you just have to look out there and laugh because they're all going to be...
What are you doing sober at the end of a show?
Pussy.
I took it seriously. I had a big solo coming up in Disco Inferno. I didn't want to be drunk and blow it.
Get drunk and blow it?
How that's probably why you stop drinking.
You can just see all these regrets in the making.
Yeah.
You know this guy's going to be kicking himself about 8 hours later when he wakes up with a what the hell did I do? And you just see there's this magic hour at a bar, usually about 1 in the morning, when everyone doesn't...
What are they called? You Hot Shot Scott.
Hot Shot Scott.
Oh, you're the one taking hot shots at the end of the night.
Would you stop? That's sick and wrong.
Maybe we should be on TV, really.
No, not to see that.
Wow.
I'm very animated when I want to be.
You
horrible.
Look like you could be really good at that, though, if you
think
want
so?
To.
If you want I learned to. It from watching you.
I'm really good at it. Wow.
Rick, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I just had a couple things to mention. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello. Yeah, the first one was the another name for a piece of skin. That skin in between your, sack and your ass would
Rick.
Be the chode.
Yeah.
The chode.
Well, catch up to what we're talking about now.
It was like 2 hours ago, Rick.
Somebody's
yeah,
a pot smoker.
And Scions are actually really cool cars. They're really roomy, too. They're pretty cheap, like $2,000.
Yeah, they're roomy.
Only chodes drive them.
They're roomy if you're hauling around a big square obelisk. Hello, Javier.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing? Love you guys.
Thanks.
I had a quick beer goggle story I was going to tell you guys. You guys probably will laugh at this one. Well, anyways, before I was 21, I'd go to a bar, and, you know, they'd ID me, so I'd get all S-face, you know. And my buddy was working at a little Chevron gas station, and I guess they hired some fat chick. I mean, this chick had a body like, you guys remember Batman Returns? Like Danny DeVito played the Penguin?
Yeah.
Well, she had that kind of a body, you know what I mean? A little bit taller, but it was still pretty round like that. And so I ended up walking in, you know, kind of flirting and everything. And I was like, oh, is that the warehouse? You know, oh, you know, what do you guys got back there? And, you know, being, you know, buzz, whatever. And I ended up going to the back, and, yep, she kept my sausage hostage, man.
It was that easy? You didn't have to try.
I mean, literally, I was like, yeah, she's a little flirtatious, man. So I was like, oh, I thought about that. I was like, hey, let me
know. Fanny DeVito.
Yeah, and that happened, like, about six, seven times.
Well, Javier, let me give you a prize for that story.
Oh, cool.
A pair of tickets to see The Who. February 26th at the Long Beach Arena. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Frank, is there an etiquette over there by Vermont? Oh, come on. Give me some props. That's funny.
Wait, hang on.
An etiquette?
Oh, okay, Connecticut.
No, is there a... I didn't pronounce either very good. Is there an etiquette? If I see you at a bar and we're out and it's getting late and I see you going for someone I know you can do much better, and you are going to kick yourself in the morning. You're going to regret it.
And you're my friend?
Yeah. Should I go over there and go, Frank, come here.
No.
We got to talk.
No, never.
Never stop sex from happening. If I'm not stopping you from getting into a
tragic... You're not much of a friend if you're stopping me from getting late.
That's a girl thing to do, Frost. Because a girl will go, hey, Michelle, seriously.
You don't want to go home with
him. Come here.
But I'm sober. I mean, I have judgment. You don't. So I'm stopping you from making a mistake. I would stop you from driving home drunk. I would stop you from putting a $100 tip down because you don't know what you're doing. So why shouldn't I stop you from hopping in the sack with a .2 on a scale of 1 to 10?
Because then you can use that against me later, and if you're my friend, you will.
What?
You don't understand guy friendships.
So you don't have any guy friends.
About the abuse that we give each other. Watching a guy who's... we know he's going to go home and wake up the next morning and...
I want to chew his own arm off.
Vomit on himself.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to let him do that and then make fun of him for as long as I can until I'm sick and tired of making fun of him about that particular thing anymore.
How is old Fatty McFats? Was she pretty good in bed?
So,
yeah,
I give her a nickname and all of a sudden, Fatty McFats is, you know, his girlfriend.
So the...
Fatty coming over tonight?
Really? That's...
Yeah, so pretty much so I can make fun of him. I'm not going to stop him. Now, maybe if he's putting down $100, I'll take that because I am helping him out. $100 tips. But yeah, certain things you just don't do. You don't mess with a guy if he's trying to get laid.
Even though...
No matter what.
I'm doing you a favor. You are going to seriously regret it.
Even if it was a guy, and I knew it was a guy, but it was dressed as a woman, I'd let him do it.
So the transvestite I know and you don't know that, I'd let you go through with it?
I would let him discover for himself so I could make fun of him the next day.
Maybe I understand friendship, but I thought friends would look out for you.
You're right. Heidi's, just like a woman. A woman protects the nest.
We're all going to try to keep you from getting laid.
So in the male world, the point of having a male friend is to let them screw up so you can laugh at them later?
Yeah.
That's the definition of friendship?
Yeah.
I'm so glad I'm not
alone.
I wonder
why I'm alone. Okay, fine.
See, stop being so darn sensitive.
No, because, see, I made that mistake one time when we were all out, and we were in Orange County, and I think we had done a show at Dave and Buster's, and then we ended up at a strip club and then another bar and who knows where, and we were all there, and Frank was hammered, as he usually is.
I remember this,
there was a girl who was very irritating and not great looking. Great body, but not great looking.
Oh, she was smoking.
And I thought as a wingman, as a buddy, I would go up to Frank and go, Frank, come here. And so I say to him, I said, we're getting ready to head out. You ready? No, listen, listen. Hey, I'm gonna get the girl's pee. That's what I'm going to get laid. Go. You guys go without me. Like, no, Frank, trust me. She's, and you go, shut up. She's a model.
And I said, you are the model.
And I said, what kind of model, Frank? Foot model? Trust me on this one. I'm telling you, not very good looking. You're just jealous. You want me, and you don't want her to have me. I'm going to go. So then we did leave him, and he stayed. Like, he partied in Orange County.
Came back and got me.
No, you didn't. You stayed.
That's not even true. You guys turned the car around.
I insisted.
You did.
I insisted we go back and get him. We're leaving without him, and I made the driver. I remember being sober enough to go, we've got to look out for Frank. He doesn't know what he's doing. And pulled you out of there.
She was a model.
A model for what? A burn ward?
Was she was just, her teeth were all jacked up.
I like jacked up teeth.
She
was completely annoying and disgusting.
Oh, my God.
I mean, beyond annoying.
She had that red dress. All I could hear was, Lady in Red.
And you were the Lady in Bed. Yeah, so see, I made that mistake.
Do much better. We could stop
it. I know I could do much better, but it was a sure thing.
Yeah, she was all, I mean, he could have done it right there at the bar. You know, one of those things.
It was a sure thing.
And
I wasn't necessarily going to leave, but these two party poopers, if you've ever been out to one of our events, always like pulling me out of something. We got to go home. I got a pie in the oven. Why are you making pie? You knew we'd be out.
Yeah, I got pie
hours
for
after
me.
That, and you were going
to
do.
I stay in party till the last person pukes.
Why wouldn't you have thanked me for helping you prevent making something that would haunt you till the day you die?
We prevented a little Frank Kramer Jr. somewhere in Orange County.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we knew you weren't wearing condoms that night.
How'd you know I didn't have one on before I left?
Oh, God. Ben, you're on Free FM.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
I have a story about when I was in college. I had a fraternity brother that was really just into this unattractive girl. I did everything I could to pull him off of her. And, you know, I even pulled him aside and said, are you really sure you want to do this? He was just totally S-faced. And he was like, yeah, man, I want to do this. And I said, all right, whatever, it's your loss. And the next morning, he wakes up and he's like, why in the hell did you let me do that? I was like, hey, man, I tried. I did what I could. So I don't know if I believe in this code where you just let somebody do what they want to do.
Yeah.
I think it's important to get out there and save some people every now and then from themselves.
Good point, Ben. Frank, you should have been mad at me later on, like the next Monday. If you'd have found out that I was sober and saw what you were getting ready to hook up with, you would go, why did you let me go through with this?
I've never, ever questioned it myself. I mean, I've slept with many a hideous woman. And I realize it's my own damn fault for getting to that point in my night that I didn't take her home. I'm not going to blame anybody else because they didn't pull me off the hog. Jeez. I mean, that's why it's like, if you want to do this, go ahead. I mean, you're dropping on a grenade for the rest of us.
Don't you look at girls like that, like, it's like practice for when you really give a damn. Like, you know, it's like, well, it's something else for my, you know, it's like, okay, some more for my arsenal. Like, okay, well, I'll practice some stuff maybe on her, but I'm not going to try.
Practice some stuff.
Well, no, I'm saying, like, maybe work on some stuff or try something new with somebody that you don't give a damn about. That way, if that really works, and when somebody does come around, a hottie that I'm really trying to impress, I can pull that out, but I'm not going to try that with her. You know what I mean?
Like, those girls usually let you try anything, probably.
As the practice round, like, I'm going to, let me see if I can.
How are you able to perform? You're wasted on your ass, and she's hideous.
That's beer, like, goggles.
Yeah, but even then, you can still, wow.
You mean you drink, and it's just whiskey D?
Well,
it just lays there like a turtle?
Well, yeah. Oh. I'm older, though.
Yeah.
Know. But it seems to me now, if I've been drinking it, forget it. And then if it's like a disgusting, fishless, dripping sea hag, forget it.
You don't see her like
so
that,
so how do I
though.
Get turned on by those two elements?
Yeah,
that
on
your equation. Still looks kind of good. Like, I didn't notice how ugly her teeth were.
Right.
All I saw was blonde, hot blonde chick in a red dress.
Right. I think she had red fingernail polish on, too.
And so she looked trashy and slutty, and I love that.
I know.
That's a lethal combo. And then you got crooked teeth.
Those
count me out.
Crooked, rake-like teeth were dripping with skin fragments. It was horrible. Well, I know we have to break. If you want to do the IQ, I'll play us out with Disco Inferno. No, hard fade down.
Please. I'm running out of solo.
You're running out of your song?
I'm going to make him sweat.
Thank you for coming to the Holiday Inn. We'll be back tomorrow night.
You say tip your waiters and waitresses. We've had a good time.
Thank you. You were great.
We're morning, miss.
And hot shot Scott.
Love you, Fargo.
Give it to the hot shot Scott over here. Let's do that. Woo! We are Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Yeah, know it well. Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Now, you guys don't have kids.
Well, none that I know.
Someday you will, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
I have anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, there would be a time in your life when you actually see yourself and your child, or like you've made that impact.
That'd be frightening.
Little Steve, I'm so proud of you. Your first clarinet.
There you go.
First chair clarinet.
Happened to me on Sunday, driving the car with my daughter. And she was doing something. It was just stupid. And I said, you know, if my last name was Oing, I'd named you Ann.
Oh,
that's funny.
And she goes, well, if my last name was Ina, I'd name you Vudge.
Shut up.
I'd like wreck the car.
Did you give her a good smacking?
No, I died laughing. I was like, that's my little girl.
Oh, my gosh.
My
she's got
name
it.
Was Ina. I'd name you Bud.
That's funny.
Proud moment.
Oh.
I finally have made my impact on my girl.
So you busted up laughing?
I busted up laughing. I probably died laughing for 5-10 minutes. And I'm like, yeah, when the hell did you start using that? She's like, well, I was doing one of these Mad Libs, and they asked for a noun, and I said vagina. And the whole thing came out, I was like, you had your vagina whitened. And it's like, right now she's that age where that's kind of funny
that's
for her.
That's a funny word,
that's
yeah.
one of her funny words. And mm-hmm. so I...
Oh, my God.
Proud father moment.
Far be it for me to tell you to raise your child, but you screwed up. Because you laughed and gave such approval, such overwhelming approval, that it's okay for her to use that word.
Oh, you had to.
Now she's going to say vagina, this, vagina, that all the time. You won't be able to. Every time you turn around, there'll be a vagina coming out of her mouth.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Yee.
What happened to you?
No, better than that, Heidi? Better, you know, really. I've had a choice.
Oh, really?
So,
that's nice of you.
Well, that's funny.
Every dad hopes for a lesbian.
That's funny.
My dad should be so proud.
He should be, isn't he? Did he say he's proud of you?
Yeah, he's very proud of me.
That's what he says. But.
I think he is.
So you can look forward to that someday, passing on some personal trait that will just pop out at you in a moment, of, you know, you weren't least expecting it.
Uncouthness in this case.
One day, Frosty's kid will be sitting at the kitchen table, spill some sort of fruit drink, and go, has this ever happened to you? And you're going to go, oh, my God.
No.
Little Kirk.
My child, like father, will call for the butler and maid to blot it. Excuse me, I spilled something here, James. Hilda. Clean it up. I can't imagine Frank's kid is an adult. The traits Frank has superimposed on that sweet little girl,
mm-hmm.
She's not going to be a sweet little girl anymore. She'll be some...
No, I think she's going to be a smartass, probably.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she's already getting there.
Yeah, so I think she's just going to be that girl who's very quick, because she's had to get quick living with him. If you're going to keep up, you're going to have to be quick and more clever and more creative. To have Frank
quick,
Kramer as a dad,
not
yeah.
sensitive, can't be sensitive.
No.
I'm pretty much joking.
Mm-hmm.
I picture your daughter growing up to be like Kathy Griffin.
So
crash,
hot.
Well,
I know that's kind of weird to say, but I'm in for it. Karma.
Yeah.
She's a good-looking girl.
Yeah.
I knew it was bound to happen. All the ugly chicks I banged and never called.
Did she go through the ugly stage at all? Because she's, what, 9? So does she have, like, the big teeth? Like.
I was just doing old box of stuff and found my picture of when I was 9.
Yeah.
Showed it to her. God, I was an ugly kid.
Really?
Yeah, that was my ugly year, 9. I was smoking.
What was wrong with you at 9?
Well, you had your, what, was that the big fat glasses and the patch and all that?
No, my 9-year-old picture I had on my Cub Scout uniform and and the worst haircut known to man.
What'd you have?
Mom.
Oh, yeah, the bangs on the forehead?
Yeah, basically cut his hair so his eyes can see, then cut it down, then do it halfway on the ear, then back down again, then, you know, across the neck. And the hair was combed over like one of my ears, but the other ear was hair was tucked behind. So
greaser look.
My Cub Scout uniform, and I had little bits of food stuck in my gums and my teeth because it came from lunch. I mean, I was like,
that's like when you don't care, you're not like hip to.
That's picture day. Hey, I'm ready. Are you sure, kid? Oh, yeah, save me from that. Don't save me from the fat girl. Save me from, you might want to go brush.
You got tater
tots. Get the hair over the other ear. Lose the Cub Scout scarf.
Let me guess, your parents didn't buy the photos that year. We're not paying for that.
There was food in your teeth, for real?
Yeah, there was like little brown specks of something.
Probably
right
a brownie.
There on my two front teeth, right there at the gum line. Like, I haven't brushed for days. Hey, look at me. I'm a Cub Scout.
That is the Indiana look. You blended right in.
I was getting done eating a brownie. Is that what you said? That's pretty funny, bro.
Yeah.
See, look at you connecting with stuff.
Oh, God, that's funny.
So, yeah, sure.
What did you say about your picture?
No, she laughed at it. Point made fun. That's another moment, you know.
I want to see that one.
Oh, I do, too.
I might end up putting that on the website.
If you can conjure that up, Frank, I will try to get, when I see my parents for Christmas, I'll try to get my first grade photo.
Let's all do...
First or second. I don't recall
the
which.
The most horrible year you looked photo?
Yeah.
It's
either first or second. It might be second. But anyway... For whatever reason, I don't know why, they put me in a little army jacket with medals.
What?
Yeah.
Are you sure you didn't do that?
No, I didn't. Where would I have an army jacket? They dressed me. I guess because Dad was in the army.
Like, you wore his jacket?
No, it was very small. I think mom sewed it together. She must have made it, because they don't make army jackets for second graders, do they? Unless you're in North Korea.
It might actually come to that.
But it had the little medals and everything. I'm like, and I remember at the time they go, oh, look, you look like a little general. Now, I guess the context of the time, Dad was recently in Korea, and he wanted me to fight in Vietnam. Who knows what he was thinking? But I was dressed like a little soldier.
Really?
Isn't that weird?
It is a little odd, yeah.
Complete with medals for bravery and stuff over to the side. Why'd they get that wrong? I'll dig that photo up. I can find it
I just recently found it. I didn't throw it away.
I mean, almost every year was, because I was real cute for a little bit, where the long blonde hair, and I was always very tan and you know, thin. That was never an issue. And then the two front teeth fell out, and it was pretty much downhill from probably second grade on, and I would say the worst picture is probably seventh grade. I don't know if it's my seventh or eighth grade picture, but I can see it in my head. I had the horrible greasy, well, it wasn't greasy, but I went through a gel phase, so put the gel on your hair when the hair's still wet, and then comb it over to the side, and it was all, it looked wet all the time, mm-hmm. but if you touch it, it wasn't wet, it was just crunchy.
Hard.
Mm-hmm. And then I had the horrible jacked up teeth. And then when I was a kid, I was on medication for my tonsils. I had tonsil problems all the time. So it turned my two front teeth bright orange.
What?
And we didn't have any money to get them fixed. So
it turned your teeth orange?
And at that stage, seventh or eighth grade, I never had a problem smiling. Now looking back, I'm like, why didn't I just do the closed mouth smile? But no, big, just as big as... And I had two corn teeth in the front.
Orange.
But
corn teeth? They were like candy corn teeth.
They were
orange.
Like candy corn teeth. Then the fangs that were coming out from the top of my mouth up here, they were coming down. They were all messed up. I had an overbite so bad, so I was a thumb sucker, that I could stick my thumb in my mouth and bite down.
Weird
still
hair.
Fit. Horrible hair. And a pink I'll put that picture on. That would be horribly painful.
That way people will stop insulting you now, seeing how far you came.
That's just it. When you call me ugly now and you call me Butterface now, does it sting? Yeah, a little bit. But you know what? From where I came from, I'm gorgeous. Okay? So it doesn't... You say all
you've gone many notches on the Heidi scale.
Oh, please. So at this stage, if you're calling me ugly, it's fine.
I feel... You know, I'm going to be nicer to you now because you must have had a horrible teenage year. I mean, if you're that ugly in the eighth grade,
mm-hmm.
that's socially a scourge you never recover from.
I had to work on the personality.
Yeah, is that what it was?
Yeah. That's why I'm here today, because I was hideous.
It's one to be ugly when you're eight, but if you're ugly in the eighth or ninth grade...
I was ugly all through high school. I mean, we couldn't afford braces until the summer before my senior year. Yeah, so everybody's getting their braces off in the seventh and eighth grade because they got them on in fourth and fifth. But we couldn't afford it, so I didn't get my braces on until the summer before my senior year. So senior year, I come back with a butterfly so I could expand the roof of my mouth.
I wonder if people who, I mean, are old now or older, like, that are ugly, if they ever had an ugly year because they're still ugly.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Or were they... I always think the ugly people now were the people who used to be hot in high school. Like, they blossomed early.
In third grade, they were gorgeous. Now they're just hideous.
Yeah. Like
some people you look at and you go, there's no way you ever looked good. You've always been ugly. Look at me. I never looked good. I have different stages of really ugly or just ugly.
I found a picture of you, too, thin and blonde.
I want to see that. You've got to bring
that
in.
I'll put that on the website as well. Eventually, when I'm...
It's like mid-80s. Yeah, I had a summer. For whatever reason, I lost a lot of weight.
Was that when you were with Karen?
No, that was like just before.
That was after.
Depression
diet.
Depression skinny.
Was it after?
You
okay.
couldn't even eat.
Late 80s.
Wow, right. She must have really hurt you.
I dropped a ton of weight, and the haircut lady who did my hair says, you know, let me put this formaldehyde.
Formaldehyde.
Whatever it is that makes your hair go white.
I could explain a lot today, by the way.
So I had this blonde hair.
Yeah.
Muscles in my legs. For a summer.
Well, one summer. Yeah, you had a one summer.
The summer of 89.
Well... Everybody has that one time.
I do.
Yeah.
God. You're all laying out posing, too.
What?
Check out my legs.
Laying out? Why? Yeah.
And his hand behind his head.
And you have the picture?
I had.
He was posing next to a statue doing the same thing.
Oh, I remember that one.
It was like a giant naked lady statue, and he got on top of it. We were where? Germany, I think it was?
It was France, actually.
He got on top of the statue and laid down on her.
You weren't supposed to touch, but I'm a wallard on her. Yeah, that was me at my peak.
Oh, I have to see those pictures.
I had the best legs back then. I just walked everywhere and rode my bike everywhere. I had, like, athlete legs. Look at them now. If you'd see my big, fat, blobby thighs, could you ever see these?
But burning and itching, your athlete's legs, a really bad case.
Oh, God. Anyway, we'll try to find these photos and put them on the website.
Oh, I love it.
Painful for all of us.
Oh, God.
Meantime, the website is there with tons of stuff to see. That's at FrostyHeidiAndFrank.com. We are Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. Free FM, Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. Someday, Frank, I expect to visit you behind bars.
Which side are you going to be on?
I don't know. I'm not saying, but someday...
Hey, Rumi.
Someday, mark my words, we'll be speaking to each other from that glass.
Plexiglass.
Pick up the phone.
Pick up the phone.
Pick up the phone.
All you hear is...
Click. I just don't know who's going to be on one side. You know, this really shocked me. Over the weekend, I saw this online. This really, really, really means we have to overhaul our drug laws. Because did you know one out of every 32 American adults is behind bars or on probation or parole? One out of every 32?
That can't be possible.
Yes. Either in jail right now, or you're still on probation from, you know, or parole. One in 32. And check this out. We lead the world. We lead the entire planet in the number of people in prison or jail. We've got 5% of the world's population, yet 25% of the world's incarcerated population.
You know why that is?
Yes, I do.
I don't.
Why do you suppose?
I suppose that other countries don't worry about taking care of you in jail. They just kill you.
That's an interesting suppose, but that's not the reason. They just kill you? Instead of sending you to jail, they kill you?
You don't have a large population of the incarcerated because we just kill them and get rid of their bodies.
Or I say the people in other countries are way more relaxed with their rules and regulations.
Okay, you're very close, but in one particular thing, what can it be? What is it that we enforce more than anyone else to the point now where we have 1 in 32 in jail and the other countries will give you slap on the wrist, don't do it again, but don't spend time. Let me preface it by saying this. We now imprison more people for this violation than all of Western Europe with the bigger population combined for all their offenses.
Well, I'm going to go back to the beginning of your statement with, we really need to relax the drug laws in this country.
That's what it is.
Possession?
It's the drug laws. Our drug laws for possession, for whatever the drug laws are, drugs in general, those drug offenses are what is clogging the jails and the prisons. The other way, Europe and the rest of the country doesn't have laws like that, so they don't put people in jail for stuff that we do. And that's why we have more in jail. Drug laws.
Stupid.
There's always going to be, isn't it the law of supply and demand? So no matter how many drug dealers or whatever you put in jail, the drug user is going to find a new dealer.
Right,
because
of course.
Because that customer needs a supplier. And a supplier will fill the gap of the guy who was taken off the streets. So really, you're not doing anything to change what's going on.
It's not
outside.
Just going to end. Yeah, the war on drugs is a joke.
Well, if you put the suppliers in prison and jail, then that'll dry it up.
But no, someone else will take their place. I mean, if, you know, a product is being sold out of stores and the guy goes out of business and there's an opening there, well, then I'm going to go into that business.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, it's like, well, there's no drugs. Guess I'll stop doing them.
Well, I think so often they're not getting the supplier, Frosty. They're not getting the big fish. They're just getting the little dealers. They're not getting
exactly.
the big guy anyway.
They're not getting
anyway.
The big guy, and they're getting the users, you know, the customers, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're putting the people who are arrested for caught with a joint or something. Well, putting you behind bars doesn't do anything about the drug problem. It just makes you, you know, it doesn't dry up anything that's being... So I'm not saying do away with all drug laws, but you got to rewrite them if it's that much of an imbalance compared to the rest of the planet.
How much money would we save if we did, you know, just basically decriminalize possession of marijuana, like up to 2 kilos?
That's probably what most people are in for anyway.
What's a kilo?
2.2 pounds. So you can have 4 pounds of marijuana on you.
4 pounds of marijuana?
Okay, two. You got 2 pounds.
Like a lot. I thought a couple joints, maybe. 2 pounds of marijuana? Is it like a coffee can?
Because they assume if you have anything over a certain amount that you're selling it. Like if you have an ounce and you're carrying it around, they assume you're selling that ounce. And it's like, no, I just smoke a lot.
Isn't there another drug, Frank, and I forget the name of it. I was watching some sort of show on TV about the drug that's like almost exactly like marijuana, actually worse, and it's legal. It begins with an S. And you can grow it.
Sudafed.
No.
I don't remember.
Dang it. But, it's even a better high than marijuana, and it's legal. And that's where they're...
I've never heard of this.
Because
you would
if
know.
Anybody's listening who knows...
You think you would have got an email alert on that.
I was going to call you and go, oh, my God, are you watching this? Because it was amazing that they're like, well, there's a loophole. It's exactly like marijuana, only a little bit worse, and it's illegal.
You dream this? Are you high?
Maybe I was high.
I think she's high.
I don't know.
No, I thought it was because the world had stricter laws, where it's like... there was more of a deterrent because if you do something minor, you get your arm cut off or something like that. So people just don't do anything.
Like spitting in Kuala Lumpur.
Yeah, we'll cut your hand off, but we're not going to put you in jail. So yeah. That counts as, you know, we're not incarcerating you. Because in Pakistan, they changed some laws recently. The President General Pervez, is that his name?
Pervez
Musharraf. He signed into law an amendment to the country's controversial rape statute to make it easier to prosecute sexual assault cases, despite nationwide protests by hardline Islamists. No, we want to be able to rape! Rights activists have long condemned Pakistan's old rape law for punishing rape victims while providing legal safeguards for their attackers.
I know.
Are you serious?
Oh, it's so sickening what they do
punish
over there.
The victim?
Yeah.
How dare you get raped?
Yeah, it's like she got raped, and we're going to punish her, and the guy gets to go
free. Have been shaking that thing under that burqa.
Mm-hmm.
Under the change, judges can choose whether a rape case should be tried in a criminal court or under Islamic law. And it also drops the death penalty for sex outside of marriage.
Death penalty is still in the books?
Adultery is death penalty.
For a woman, not for a guy.
Oh, well, I don't know. Doesn't say.
No, it's like even if a woman's married and then gets raped by a guy, they're saying that now they'll drop the death penalty, but she still has to pay a fine and come up with four witnesses saying, oh, she was raped. Yeah, she didn't want it. Well, how do you find four witnesses in a dark alley?
Is this where they would stone the woman to death, the adulterous woman? They would bury her up with her head sticking out of the ground,
yeah.
And the villagers throw rocks at her head
because
she's dead? You know what? There probably aren't too many adulterous women then. You know, if that's the punishment, you probably don't do it very much.
And Pakistan's catching up.
Yeah, good for them. We should be more like Pakistan. That's the one thing I'll take from today's show. God bless them. Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Hi, this is Bob Moore, Vice President and General Manager of Free FM. For the first time in 5 years, I listened to the Frosty, Heidi, and Frank show, and now I know why they have to apologize. For the amount of money I'm paying them, they better apologize. So start it now, or you're out of here.
We apologize to Taiwanese factory workers, Gary Sinise, Vietnamese boat people, and rabbis.
Little Mermaid, Handsome Homeless, and Elves.
Somalis, Korean restaurants, Nicole Richie, and OnStar.
Belize, patent attorneys, the LA Auto Show, the Sky On and Geo, and cell phone photographers.
Mary Jo, but a Fuco, epileptics, and clowns.
Indian pet cemeteries, Nefertiti, Titbits, and Labradors.
Sudafed, the Fargo Holiday Inn, Home Depot, and the Seattle Airport.
Zebras, Dodge neon drivers, and salvia smokers.
Ugly Asian girls, the blind, the aesthetically challenged, my little girl in Pakistan. You really have to listen to the whole show.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on 3FM.